God put your sin on Christ and then gave him the full punishment for your sin and then makes Jesus, his perfect righteousness, credited to you. You trade places. So when he looks at you, he sees the righteousness of Christ. That's the gospel. If that doesn't affect your heart, you are dead. There's nothing else I can say to you to shock your heart to Jesus. You are dead spiritually. You're dead in your sin. You are a walking corpse. You're blind, you're deaf, and you're headed for destruction if the gospel doesn't affect you. That's not a scare tactic to get you to behave a certain way. It's not a story that we tell. It is reality. And I take this very serious because Isaiah does. Isaiah today, we are finishing it. 66 chapters of Isaiah spoken to God's people, God's word. So after going through 65 chapters, my question for you is, did you hear it? Did you listen? Did it affect you? God's word spoken to God's people. Go ahead and open your Bible one final time to Isaiah 66. I'm kind of sad that we're finishing it. I wish there was more. But as God right now runs the universe, the whole thing, he holds it all together, keeping everything in existence by his power, what do you think he takes notice of? Serious question. As God owns the planet, what do you think catches his eye? What do you think impresses him? How would you answer that, really? Look at our big building, God. I know that would be some of our answers because the disciples said it. Look at this temple. And he's like, nah, I'm not impressed. Well, look at my religious deeds, God. Look how hard I tried. Look how much effort I gave. Not impressed. So God is going to tell us what he notices, what catches his eye, what he is impressed by. Last chapter of Isaiah, Isaiah 66. Here we go. Thus is what the Lord says. Heaven is my throne. Earth is my footstool. Could you build me a temple as good as that? No. Could you bring me a resting place? Verse 2. My hands have made both heavens and earth. They and everything in them are mine. Now check this out. I, the Lord, have spoken. I will bless those with humble and contrite hearts and who tremble at my word. He is saying right now, I own everything. You think you're going to give me a gift that I need to repay you? I own it all. Do you realize whose words you are dealing with? God is saying, look at Mount Everest, 29,000 feet up. That's my step stool. Look at the Grand Canyon. I formed it. I made it. But I take notice of those who tremble at my word. Humble, broken, and trembles at God's word. That's what he says. So up on the screen, what does it mean to tremble at God's word? What does that mean? It is to have a proper respect for God's voice. It's to treat it as he deserves. It is to hear him when he speaks. That's what he's impressed by. That's what he takes notice of, people who listen to what he says. When a lion roars, you would look. I know we live in Seneca, not the Amazon, all right? Just go with me. The zoo's not that far. But when God's word speaks, we can go, meh, what's for lunch? Which Dennis did bring some steak to VBS. That was to die for. You can worship as you eat, you know. Not worship the steak, but worship the one who gave you the steak, right? Okay. This is terrifying to me. We can live our whole lives unaffected by God's word. We can live our whole lives unfazed by a God who speaks. That we don't actually tremble at his word. And he is way more terrifying than a lion at the zoo, even if there is no cage. Do you tremble at God's word? Here's a question. One time, I was at the zoo. Not yet. I got ahead of myself. And I'm an ogre, okay? I'm 6'4". My wingspan is 6'8". Abnormally sized, okay? The world ain't made for people like me. But I'm at the zoo, and there is a fence before the cage to the tiger. And I was going to use my ogreness to get a really close shot of the lion, the tiger. And the tiger was pacing back and forth, you know, kind of like looking at me, going back and forth. He was hangry, I could tell. And I reached over this fence with my little camera, and he just, at one moment, looked and all of a sudden let out a growl and a snarl. I sharp myself. And in that moment, I was literally terrified. And we had a cage and a fence, but there was a proper respect for the difference of power going on there. He had to be 600 pounds. I don't know. It was the scariest I've ever been at the zoo, and I've even walked through the snake section. I get burned into my head. I remember this. That's trembling. To say there's a difference in power here, and there's a proper respect given to that. So here is my question. Do you tremble at God's word? This is the one to whom I look, humble, contrite, and you tremble at my word. It's a serious question. Where does God's word rank in importance in your life? Where do you put it? Don't tell me that you're humble, you're contrite, and that you tremble at God's word, and then you never read it for yourself. It just gets pushed out, and you'd rather look at TikTok. Don't wait for someone else to drag you along in the faith. I feel like that's half my job, is just dragging people along in the faith. Last week, Dennis so perfectly said, if Jesus was up here and your pastor right in front of you, who would you listen to more? Say Jesus. You better say Jesus. Okay. Yeah, because you know that's the right answer. Oh, yeah, Jesus. Of course, Jesus. Mm-hmm. But then in truth, practically, each of you would just rather ask me than read it for yourself. That was Dennis's point. I didn't come up with that. I just stole it. Yes, that you would rather ask a priest or a pastor or a religious leader than study it for yourself. Tremble at his word yourself. I have no other agenda with this church than to teach you God's word. That's it. I don't muster up motivational speeches. I don't look for inspiration until it comes to me. I study God's word and make sure I don't jack this up on Sunday. I don't have other ambitions. I don't want a bigger building. I don't want more money. I don't want to have more events. Those are exhausting. I do want every one of you to tremble at God's word, to delight in it, to enjoy it, to see Christ in it, to treasure it. When you truly tremble at God's word, people will mock you. Look at verse 5, Isaiah 66, verse 5. Hear this message from the Lord, who? All you who tremble at his word. You've given a proper respect to the word of God. You've heard it. You listen to it. You take it serious. Your own people will hate you. They throw you out for being loyal to my name. You're probably part of a cult. Can I say that? Let the Lord be honored, they scoff. Be joyful in him, but they will be put to shame. He literally says, if you tremble at my words, you give it proper respect, and you point people to Scripture, you will be mocked. Your own people will despise you because you take God's word serious, more serious than they do. They will be put to shame. I sent Isaiah 66:5, this verse, I sent this to people this week to encourage them because I hear about it all the times people get made fun of. If you, speaking to you, if you have been rejected, mocked, and made fun of because you pointed people to Scripture, be encouraged. God is not ashamed of you. He's not embarrassed that you tried to point someone to the Bible or tell them about the treasure that you have in Christ. Scripture dominates over religion. Over and over, I personally have heard people tell me, you just take this Jesus stuff too serious. Relax and be like the rest of us. I just haven't found that verse yet. like we're all going to make it. Everyone's going to be fine. You just go too far on the word of God stuff. It is worth trembling at his word. Look at verse 15 and 16. I just would love to take you through this whole chapter, but we don't have time. See, the Lord is coming with fire. It's not a joke. He's not bluffing. With his swift chariots roaring like a whirlwind. This is quoted in the New Testament. He will bring punishment with the fury of his anger and the flaming fire of his hot rebuke. 16, the Lord will punish the world by fire and by his sword. He will judge the earth, and many will be killed by him. That's more terrifying than the tiger. This is a guaranteed promise. We love to cling to the promises in Scripture that are easy to swallow. We really shy away from the ones that we don't like. It is unavoidable. Have you considered that there is no option to just stay behind and haunt people? There is no option to just stop existing. Well, I don't believe in any of that. I mean, I don't care what you believe. This is what is. There is no option to avoid the face-to-face with the Almighty. You are either saved by the substitution of Jesus Christ, or you are damned because you rejected the only one that could save you. There is no third option. Isaiah ends this book in the most serious, horrifying way possible. I'm just going to read you Scripture. Isaiah 66:22 through the end. Look at this. As surely as my new heaven and new earth will remain, so you will always be my people with a name that will never disappear, says the Lord. Now look at this. I had to wrestle with this. All humanity will come to worship me from week to week and from month to month. And as they go out, they will see the dead bodies of those who have rebelled against me. For the worms that devour them will never die, constantly decaying. And the fire that burns them will never go out. And all who pass by will view them with utter horror. Okay, good night, kids. They left this out of the kid Bible. I don't know why. Jesus himself was not embarrassed of this verse. He actually quotes it in Mark chapter 9 as he pleads with people to take sin serious. Fire never goes out. Worms never stop devouring. So back to the first question. Do you tremble at God's word? That's it. If you stand in awe at the Grand Canyon, but you don't tremble at God's word, something's off. If you stand in awe at the Grand Teton Mountains, but you don't stand in awe of the God who speaks, something's off. You're dealing with the Almighty. So tremble at his word. Mountains, volcanoes, oceans, but you give no thought to his word, something's off. On the back table, there are Bibles. Grab one. Read it. Tremble at it. A God who speaks, and get to know him. We actually have no reason not to. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much that you do speak and that we have everything you would want to say to us in our hands. Would you shock my heart to even give it a more proper respect than I give it? And then would you shock your church that we wouldn't just read it because it's a chore or we're supposed to, but that we want to see you. We want to know you. We want to take your word serious. We are fully convinced that you are able to do all that you have promised. Would you let us believe it as we tremble at your word? It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.